Okay, Blake, I've been working on some jingles for our new website launch. So I've got churchy, churchy, church, church gear.
Toby, what have I told you about singing on the podcast? It doesn't work. But you know what is working? Our new website. You can actually get it to load on your phone. You can actually buy a new piece of gear without your phone bursting into flames.
Well, what if I spelled it out like C-H-U-R-C-G-E-R?
Toby, stop. That is not working. But you know what is working? The search bar on our website. You can actually search speakers and speakers will appear. No joke, that didn't always work.
Okay, what if I just did something like go to churchgear.com?
You know what? That one works.
Blake, did you have any reoccurring dreams growing up?
Toby, I'm perpetually in English class in high school, and I have no idea why.
Welcome to the Church Gear Podcast, where we pull the tech out of the booth and onto the stage to share the most outlandish stories and hidden wisdom from the tech trenches. And now, here are your hosts.
I'm your host, Blake Hodges, a man who passed the AP English test but is still haunted by it. And I'm here with my co-host who dreams of hanging out with me every night because podcast time just isn't enough, Toby Walters.
Speaking of a nightmare, having to hang out with you every night.
That's not true. You know it.
So, Blake, I was wondering, you know, so many people have the reoccurring dream of like they show up to school in their underwear or they're standing in front of the class. And so I wondered, did you have a reoccurring dream where you showed up to school wearing underwear?
You know,
and that would be a nightmare for you.
That would be a nightmare, you know, supporting big underwear, causing chafing throughout the land.
Big underwear, are you talking about like, you know, big tobacco or like just your underwear is very big because you're a big boy?
You know, you got me there, but I mean big underwear, like big tobacco, big pharma.
I got it.
Okay.
I see. It's all a scam.
Yep, it is.
So is underwear too big to fail then?
Actually, it's so big that it failed. I don't know. This analogy, I'm running out of angles to run away from.
So speaking of running out of things, I like, so Kobe works for us here at Church Gear, and she emailed me the other day and said, hey, is the outline done for Alexander's episode? And I said,
gotta get it done.
Yeah, serious. I said, well, all the questions are done, but I'm out of stories. And so she said, dude, just make stuff up. And I was like, that's not a bad idea. So I was going to make stuff up. But then, as in true Old Testament fashion, and I'm not exaggerating, the Lord came to me in a dream last night and gave me a story.
Okay.
So when I was a bit younger, I was a worship leader, Christian artist. And so I actually had reoccurring dreams. It was Sunday morning and it was moments before service. And then nothing was ready. I didn't know what songs we were doing. Like the band wasn't set up. The audio wasn't set up, all that stuff.
Well, were you in charge?
Well, when you're the worship leader, you're in charge of your part of it.
Yes. I'm sure it wasn't ready if you were in charge.
Absolutely. Cause I didn't have you there to project manage.
Exactly.
Right, Blake? Yes. So in this dream, it wasn't a panic dream, but it was, I was visiting a church and it was on a Sunday morning and I got the opportunity just to hang out in the tech booth with them. And so I was sitting through service. And then at the end of the service, the pastor was closing it out and said something about a potluck afterwards. And so that was clue one. I must've been at a Baptist church. If you're going to have a potluck, it comes with the territory. And so all the techs immediately got up and almost sprinted to the food. It was hilarious. And so I'm still sitting in the tech booth. They didn't even say goodbye to me. And I don't know what church this is, but I have my suspicions. So
hang on, are we still in the dream or not?
We're still in the dream, 100%. Okay. And this was last night. So I'm sitting in the tech booth and the audio guy forgot to put on some inter-service music. You know,
so just hearing people chomping on food, slurping down fried chicken.
So I think to myself, well, maybe I need to play some music because there's nothing going through the system right now. It's awkwardly silent as everybody's moving over to the potluck. And so this is a bit of, exposure to myself of how long it has been since I've done production. I go to the CD player and press play on a CD.
Not Spotify?
Not in this dream.
Did you have a Spotify CD?
It's just a regular old CD. It's probably Wow Worship or something, 1999.
Certified dinosaur.
I know. So I go over to the mixer and I see the channel that says CD player and it's written on a label. It's not in, a scribble strip on a new mixer. It's written on there. And I turn up the channel and nothing comes. And all of our audio guys are like, okay, well, where was it assigned? And so again, I'm exposing how long it's been since I've done production. And this is straight up an analog mixer in my dreams. So I, you know, I turn up the channel and then I go to the, you know, turn up the mains, and then I have to look at like, okay, where's the bus assignment button? And I honestly don't know if I figured it out, but I, whether I did or not, I made my way over to the potluck and they had deep dish pizza. So I figure this church maybe was in Chicago. And Blake,
hopefully it was in Detroit. You know, you need that Jets style pizza. It's way better than Chicago. Blake,
yeah. What did you say is the best Chicago deep dish ever?
Jets pizza.
Jets pizza, which is like Pizza Hut for Detroit style pizza. So we'll come back to that one, Blake.
Garbage Panda certified right here.
And so I pick up my pizza and I go to hang out with the production guys, and they are all drinking beers.
At a Baptist church?
So
in your dreams, Toby.
There was only, and I'm not going to say the church, there was only one church ever that, now it was not a church event. We actually did, we did a an after party where we co-hosted with our friends Amplio, and there was alcohol at the after party in the church. That was the only time I ever drank in a church. So I wonder, you know, if it was that church in my dreams, but I don't know.
And speaking of the tech of our dreams, an early 2000s Hillsong praiser, Christ-like production leader, and lighting designer for Scotty McCreery and more, Alexander Lehman. Alexander, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So that's quite the descriptive introduction. Is that the way your mom introduces you to all her friends, or is that, you know, straight from your mouth?
Both. Both.
Both,
you know, I would say probably my dad. My dad is probably more on that, you know what I mean? On that side of things.
Okay.
Are you more of a Hillsong praiser or a Christ-like production leader? You lean one way or the other?
Hillsong praiser. Let's go with that one.
All right. There you go.
Fair, fair. All right, Scotty, I'm looking at Scotty's name there. Alexander, do you think you can, get us on this five truths and a lie? How confident are you in your lie?
Oh man, dude, I'm not going to lie. That was a tough one. That was a tough one. So I don't know.
I think we'll see. Sandbagging us, Toby.
Didn't he just say, I'm not going to lie?
Yep.
So what if these are all true? Well, we'll find out.
Here we go. Number one, worked alongside penguins, like the Penguins of Madagascar.
See, I was thinking maybe, there's a hockey team. Is it the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Or is it the penguin from Batman?
Yeah. Oh, true.
Number okay. two,
Ooh.
Lived on a yeah. cruise ship.
Okay.
Number three, had a road case send me to the ER.
Ouch.
I want that story to be true because you clearly seem okay right now. Number four, started my career in reality TV.
Like he was on reality TV?
I'm hoping he did,
The Bachelor?
I'm hoping he did production for reality TV and he worked on Survivor.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Number five, was left stranded in a city while on tour. Ooh, we haven't heard one of those. Number six, got arrested for trespassing a public landmark.
See, when I read that last one, my eyes wanted it to say got arrested for peeing on a public landmark, but it did not. So just trespassing.
Sorry to disappoint. Well,
we've had a couple almost get arrested recently. Okay.
Those production guys, man.
All right. Number one, worked alongside penguins. You know what? No, I'm not committing to that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go first.
Okay.
I'm going to say he was never stranded in a city while on tour. I have no inclination. I'm just going with my first gut reaction.
Okay. Did you have a second guess?
I'm not going to give you any hints.
I was going to just ride your coattails. I'm going to say he didn't get arrested for trespassing a public landmark. I'm going to say the cops berated him or told him to scram, kid. All right, Alex. Xander, what do we got here? He's got...
All right. You guys locked in that answer?
Yes.
Yep.
Unfortunately, Toby would be correct.
Yes!
I'm waiting for you to tell me you've been pulling a long con for years now because you're crushing these.
And it's such a great con because it's not like I'm winning all of them, but I'm definitely beating you.
I know. You won last year by 1 point over the guest.
That's all I needed.
Okay.
I'm just a perfect judge of human character, Blake.
Which is
why I had to hire Brian here to fix you.
And he's still doing his best work. You beat me so hard I blanked. I don't even remember. What was the lie?
The lie that he was not stranded
while on tour. Okay.
On tour.
Perfect. Because my favorite story was the road case. Tell us about the road case that sent you to the ER.
Oh man, now I got to decide how graphic I want to be. So this was a few years ago in St. Louis. And I can't believe I'm sharing this publicly. This has been very knit tight for years.
That's what the Church Gear podcast does for our guests. It's kind of like Armchair Expert, where people just open up to us.
There we go, you know? A few years ago, I was doing an install, and I had a bunch of road cases that I was working with, and we were doing a lighting installation, and I wanted to see how the clamp and the bracket were installed on a particular fixture. So I opened up a road case, held it with one arm, looked at it. Needless to say, I let go of the road case after. I'm like, cool. I was leaning too forward with said road case. So a body part of mine and fingers got pinched.
No.
Oh, no.
True story.
So then you go to the ER, what, they have to amputate?
We only see one.
Let's just say the doc.
One set of fingers right now. So.
No, I have all my fingers. Let's just say the doctor said that if you were leaning forward, even just a hair, surgery would have had to been involved in my life.
Woof. That sounds terrifying. And I'm so glad I don't work with road cases. Why were you working on?
And now I'm trying to wonder. Now I'm like wondering, like, is this even like church appropriate now?
Oh,
like,
sure.
Oh, wait a minute.
Church appropriate. Everyone has fingers.
Oh, I think I just got that joke. I think I just understood. Okay. Let's slide along just like a penguin slides on its belly over to, you worked alongside penguins. Was that just doing production for SeaWorld or something?
No. Yes and no. I worked at SeaWorld San Antonio and in Orlando years ago. The penguins one, though, it was actually not production related. There used to be a ride back in the day in Orlando that was kind of like the Universal Transformers ride where the floor's flat and the car just moves around. And so I got to work that ride for a little bit of time, and the exit was next to the penguins. So at the time, you had to learn, hey, if a penguin's acting up or if they pop out, this is what you do. So living in sunny Florida, my uniform was long sleeve, a winter coat, a beanie, gloves, the whole nine yards. So it was pretty fun. Cool.
Do you ever think I could eat one of those guys?
No, not at all.
Do you think a penguin would taste good?
They could probably eat me, though.
I don't know. I've never heard anything about penguin meat.
I bet that would taste delicious.
Anything you put into a taco ends up being pretty good, so...
All right, Toby, we're going to test that theory later.
And tell us, so you got arrested for trespassing on a public landmark. Tell us that story.
I was working on a TV show during COVID, and this was in St. Louis, and they wanted to get B-roll of the city, the arch. Well, turns out they didn't get the permit to film B-roll on the arch, at the arch location. And so, here we are with a bunch of camera gear, shooting, B-roll of the arch, wide shots, all that. Needless to say, the cops came. They gave us a warning after the cuffs came out, but it was scary for a second. I'm not going to lie.
So they did cuff you and then they gave you the warning.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, my heart would be racing during that moment, too.
Yeah, that would be scary. So that was that your reality TV maybe that you were working in? Tell us about that was started your career in reality TV. So what show was that on?
Yeah, so that was all production. Before I decided I wanted to be an LD, I had a buddy of mine who took me under his wing and said, hey man, I'm working on a show. Do you want to be my assistant? And so I worked on, I forget what season it was, but it was back in, Austin, Texas. It was Barbecue Pitmasters.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. I think it was like the All-Star season, if I remember correctly. And it was a lot of fun.
Did you do anything with Franklin Barbecue out there?
I did not.
Ah. See, I lived, Blake, are you familiar with Franklin Barbecue?
I'm not, but it's funny to me that it's in Austin. Because we're in Franklin right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's the guy's last name who started it. But I lived there for 6 years. It wasn't there the whole time, but I never got to go. It was the kind of setup where you have to get in line about 10 a.m. and then they open at 11. And usually by 12:30, they have to close because they're just out of meat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm really hungry and I could not sit in line that long. I'd probably eat the person next to me, just resort to cannibalism.
Or that penguin.
Well, he said his buddy took him under his wing. I'm like, was that your penguin buddy?
All right, Alexander. So you're out on tour with Scotty McCreery right now. And I believe you got to be out on the Dude Perfect tour and part of the Transformation Conference. So just tell us a little bit about some of the cool stuff that you've been a part of over the last year or two.
Yeah. Like you said, went on tour last summer in 2023 to do the Dude Perfect Pandemonium tour. Did production on that one, did LED on that. So totally different than lighting, but had a blast. If you can imagine, the dudes are pretty crazy.
Yeah, they're pretty perfect.
Currently, yeah, just a little bit, you know what I mean? But currently on tour with Scotty McCreery. Currently actually in Boston or Philadelphia as we speak, Boston tomorrow. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, been busy. Like you mentioned, Transformation Conference last year, did a one-off with Danny Gokey at a Christian festival, sometime last year, amongst other things, just, you know, here and there in the church world. So yeah, I've been busy to say the least.
Do you have any wild production moments from the Dude Perfect tour? Any funny stories from that?
I mean, there were a few moments where a few tiles would pop off, or, you know, would get loose. And so, you know, I forget how tall the wall was, you know, 20 plus feet. So what we would do is we would grab some of like the Nerf footballs and we would just throw them at the panel just to kind of put it back in place.
I mean, that's totally like a trick shot like they're doing for the show.
There you go. Yeah. Call me Dude Perfect, you know, member number 6.
Blake, can you, like, are you skilled with throwing a football?
Toby, I can throw one. I wouldn't say skilled in the same sentence.
Because I'm wondering, I mean, I know it's a Nerf ball, but, like, how many tries would it take me to get it onto a specific tile, depending on how far it is? I'm wondering if you had the skill set to do that, too.
Knowing my luck, it would get snagged in between the piles, and then it would spontaneously combust because it's around electricity, and now it's Dude Perfect on fire.
That sounds about right. So you mentioned the Transformation Conference. So I'm sure our listeners, I myself am always curious about Transformation because their level of production is just, it's next level. If you want to say it that way, give us just some of the behind the scenes of what it was like for that conference, some of the challenges, some of the gear, some of the realities of that. We'd love to hear those stories.
Yeah. So this conference was a lot of fun. You know, I think I worked on it leading up to conference. Conference is 3 days in the fall. I think I was there for about a month, just doing a lot of prep programming. The entire rig, for the most part, everything that was on truss that was flown was on automation. So I think it was like 6 sticks of truss, all, you know, with Kinesis that would move during worship. And then for conference, we also had a bunch of pods. I think we had 5 video pods that were columns that were also on Kinesis. And on top of each column of a video screen, we would have X4 bars. And on the bottom of it as well had X4 bars too. And so it was a lot of fun. We had pyro, low fog, not only on stage, but even in the, you know, since it's an arena, we had low fog in the arena floor.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was bonkers and crazy, but it was a lot of fun. A lot of the late nights programming, if you can imagine.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
I usually describe Transformation as, you know, when people haven't heard of Transformation, I say, well, it's kind of like a Super Bowl halftime show every Sunday morning. And so I'm wondering, did it feel a little bit like you were producing a Super Bowl halftime show?
Yeah, oh, 100%. You know, the opener that we did, so the entire stage for conference was completely filled with sand. I forget how many pounds, how many hundreds of pounds. But yeah, no, the entire stage was filled completely with sand. Yeah. Like I had to wear little booty, you know, covers on my shoes so I didn't get the sand in me, you know.
That's amazing.
But yeah, it's, you know, the opener was very theatrical, like I said, with low fog and dancers, you know, dancing on the sand. It's definitely very, very creative. So yeah, definitely feels very Super Bowl-ish like.
Mm-hmm. So much like when Blake goes to the beach and then he comes back with sand and somehow every crevice of his body, were you having to clean sand out of like movers and different tech parts, or did it stay where it was supposed to?
I mean, for the most part, it stayed where it was supposed to. But I know there were a few moments during rehearsals, I'd kind of be like on the downstage edge watching, and the dancers with their feet would just kind of start, you know, flinging sand all over. It was almost like a 4D show at this point. You know what I mean? Whoever got the front row. Oh, yeah.
What was your favorite part about working that whole event, that whole time at Transformation? Anything in particular stand out from maybe a moment or the piece of gear you got to use or an effect other than, you know, when you were running away from the sands of time trying to get all up in your business?
No, I think the whole event in particular was just so... You when you walked in and you attended, because we had LED bracelets that, you know, attendees would wear... for context, if no one's been there, around the arena are a bunch of truss pods with movers on top of it for like crowd lighting, on top of house lights that also are LED. So you are fully immersed in a theatrical, I mean, 500 plus movers type of rig. Wow. You know, JDCs, Martin Eras, Martin Aura Pixels. Chavez Pixelbar 16s. I mean, the list goes on and on. Edge light. You're very immersed. And so I think for me, my favorite part was just really being able to get creative in creating different moods, different environments in that, you know, fully immersive environment, you know, room. And obviously playing with automation is fun. So being able to speak into the programming of, hey, what if we had, you know, the truss is doing, you know, asymmetrical or, you know, start low and then having them slowly rake, you know, stuff like that really added an extra level to my programming. Versus just kind of like a static, fanned out truss look that, you know, most people do. Every song was always having some type of automation movement. So I think just overall, the room itself was probably just my favorite. The rig was just really, really well thought out to give the people attending an immersive experience.
Yeah.
Throughout the conference.
That's amazing. So obviously Transformation and, other churches that are doing production at that level, lighting is a, you know, huge priority for them. But I feel like at least myself kind of having grown up as an audio guy, and my perspective is most churches look at it as saying, okay, we've got to do audio. We've got to do great video, and whatever's left over, just, you know, put some lights up. Do you feel like that's kind of true? Like lighting is the forgotten stepchild of the AVL world in churches?
Yeah, I the way I would say is it almost feels like from a leadership perspective, oh, hey, turn on light switch, we're good.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you could see them on stage, we're rock solid. But when it comes to audio, obviously that's something that we can hear like, oh, it's too loud. You know what I mean? I have worked, you know, with the churches I've worked with on staff and even from a freelancer perspective, you can definitely tell they'll pour hundreds of thousands of dollars on, you know, big, massive PAs and massive video screens. But then, you know, cinema cameras, but then when they look at the product online or, you know, iMac, they're like, it looks really bad. And we just spent thousands of dollars on, you know, new video equipment. And that's when it's like, hey guys, lighting plays just as much, if not more of an importance when it comes to doing those other upgrades as well. And it is a trend that I see. I think that we're, at least from my eyes, we're starting to slowly see people at least asking those questions like, okay, before we start throwing money at audio and video, what should we kind of keep in the back of our head from a lighting perspective? You know, what type of gear, you know, what should we be doing? And I think that's healthy. I think that's a good conversation to have, you know, with you know, executives or, you know, the people that are writing the check. Or that, you know, hey, you know, senior pastor wants this, 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 and this, and this. Because then, you know, it lets them know, oh, wait, lighting is important. You know, lighting is needed. Versus, no, you know what, just we have three Leicos, we're great. Let's just go ahead and buy a massive LED wall, you know?
Yeah. Obviously, when you're planning a video system, as we've learned over and over and over again from video experts on this podcast, like lighting plays such a huge role in that. And I almost wonder if there's a psychology of lighting playing a role in the audio, how you receive how it sounds just by how the room feels through the lighting. Have you ever, you know, thought of it that way? Obviously for video, you're thinking, okay, how is the lighting going to impact the video? But have you ever thought about lighting impacting the audio as well? I might be just making this up myself too.
Toby might've, you know, hit it. Might've had something coming into this podcast with that question.
I mean, yeah, you know, every once in a while, and maybe it's just you and I, maybe we hit it too hard, you know, before the podcast, you know, Tennessee has some really great places from what I hear, you know, but I you know, the way I see it is, because what I've experienced in the past in large churches is if there's a power blip, PA will stay, but then the rig gets turned off. And, you know, it must be, you know, it'll be a kicking great music, but then the environment completely shifts. And so then mentally people are like, oh, you know, I'm not necessarily, I'm kind of almost pulled out. So then even though it's musically very, very well mixed, it's, you know, exciting, it really makes the brain shift in a sense of like, oh, what's going on? You know, like, you know, there's something missing, even though, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that lighting definitely, I mean, truly lighting is meant to immerse you and create an environment for you to enjoy, either be at a church, at a concert. That's what lighting is all about. On top of lighting, the artist or the worship leader, you know, the band is to create an immersive and engaging experience on top of the PA. So, you know, I definitely think that you can connect the two, you know, mentally, subconsciously, whatever. I'm not a counselor, so, you know, this is not certified, you know, advice. But I definitely think that you can connect the two.
Yeah, Blake and I definitely got a certificate in something. Was that in counseling, Blake? I had been hitting it hard before we got that certificate, so I don't remember.
That's right. I'll tell you who was hitting it. I'll tell you who was hitting it pretty hard is one of our Church Tech Madness submissions for craziest comment cards was, the lights are too lighty. I don't know what that means, but.
So Blake, I was going to ask you, because we're doing Church Tech Madness right now. So what percentage of the comment cards were something about the audio being too loud versus how many people complained about the lighting?
So when I was pairing things off against each other, I had to be careful because about half of them was creative ways of saying it's too loud.
Yeah.
What I'll tell you though, is people, church members did not struggle to find a way to complain about the loudness.
Yeah.
That being said, one of my favorites, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but it was like, the way that you did the lights all dark, well, now I'm just in hell now. I was like, man, that's quite the comment card. So people, Alexander, yeah. To your point, to y'all's, whatever we're going with the theme here of point here is that lights are noticed. It is an emotional impact for sure.
Yeah, Alex, I just thought of this, you know, 20 years ago, as worship styles really started to change and modern worship came into play, it's almost like they just turned off the house lights, and that's how they created a mood. They had stage lighting, and then it was just dark out in the house. And with the mindset of, you know, now we want them to be able to focus what's coming from stage and focus the worship. But how does house lighting play into your mind these days? Are you trying to create something different out in the house, especially with, you know, a lot of environments have LED lighting and you can do different things? What's your approach there?
I think it depends on the, like, the style of music that we're talking about and like the culture of, you know, I guess, like, you know, if you want to be broad, you know, the type of music. So like if I'm doing country and the venue has house lighting, or, you know, at a church, it really just depends on what that vision is for the LD, for, you know, the higher ups. I see a lot of churches now, a lot of the bigger ones, instead of going with like a traditional pendant, LED pendant that does RGBW, they'll stay with, you know, pendants that are just either like a white chip, cool, you know, cold tones or white warm tones, and then find creative ways to light up your house. Passion City Church is a great example of that. And even Belonging Co. up in Nashville, they're another great example of that. You know, they'll kill their house lights completely, and then they have, you know, additional lighting to really light up the crowd. And it still makes it very immersive, very unique, especially the way shadows are created. It's very beautiful, honestly. So for me, I kind of take it from that approach as well, of figuring out, you know, what's the best way, what's the most engaging way. A few weeks ago, we were at a venue, and I don't remember what venue, I think it was in Omaha, and they had a bunch of movers out in the house, very beautiful venue. And from a key lighting perspective, I was already dialed in. I didn't need the additional key lighting that those were kind of meant for. And so I tied that into my theatrical, the rest of my theatrical rig. And so it felt like the stage had literally extended into the audience and felt very immersive. I used them for almost blinders in some moments. It was very, very beautiful, very theatrical. So I personally started to lean towards that more dramatic, you know, break the status quo type of way. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, LED pendants. It's kind of the cheaper route in some ways. It just depends.
Nice. Obviously, it depends on which tools you have available at your church or in your venue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did anybody else, the moment he said he was in Omaha, hear Peyton Manning's voice say, Omaha, Omaha, because I know I did.
I love how different quarterbacks just have their different random terms.
Dak Prescott's this year was, all right, here we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Alexander, here's another trend I've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe this is just my personal experience, but I feel like I visit churches and their production director is maybe, you know, 35, 40 years old, and he's oftentimes over the audio, and then the video director about the same age. And then they introduce me to their lighting designer, and he's like a senior in high school. And is this a common theme? And is it because churches are not placing a high priority on lighting, or is it something different? Like, young guys are just super creative when it comes to that stuff. What's sort of your perspective there?
You know, that's a great question. I think it's a little bit of everything, to be honest with you. I think it goes back to the conversation of lighting maybe not being a big of a priority, or you see, it seems like with video, oh, I have a TV at home, I can make a projector work.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, you know, theatrical lighting, that's its own beast. You know, audio and video can kind of get tied together in one section. And, one, you know, one side of the arena, of the ring, you have audio and video. And then on the other side of the ring, you have lighting. And so, you know, I think especially with, you know, a lot of churches and venues having, you know, moving fixtures and all, you know, effect type fixtures, a lot of that younger generation, they're like, oh, that's really cool. I want to be able to play with those. And so I think it goes hand in hand with, you know, not knowing necessarily having the expertise. And so they'll throw a kid that say, hey, you're a self-starter. You're, you know, you're very quick at picking up and learning how to use the console or this, whatever, and throwing them into the ring. And that's just kind of how it happens. That's kind of in a way how I started too.
Any advice?
I don't think it's a bad. Go ahead.
Any advice you can give to churches on how to keep their lighting designers, other than, you know, they put a senior in high school in place and 2 years later, he's got a really cool skill set and then heads out on tour. Is, you know, do you have advice for churches on how to keep those guys working at the church?
I think the big thing, the big takeaway for even for me personally is just keeping those LDs, especially the younger ones, really involved in the creative process. Normally, a lot of those younger guys, you know, younger LDs, they're in that position because they love creativity. Not only do they love Jesus, obviously, but they love and hunger that creativity. And what I've noticed too, because even like I said myself, that's how I was, that's how I started, is when with the younger LDs, they'll also think of video content, you know, like what's the worship background? And sometimes churches say, no, that's a whole completely different person. You know, here's the colors that we need you to work on or whatever. I think letting the LD speak into that, give them a little bit more than just programming lighting is a great engaging way to keep their brain creatively moving forward versus, oh, hey, you're just programming lights, you know, once a week for Sundays. Eventually they're going to want to, you know, say, hey, I want more. I'm hungry for more. Yeah. And so when they see these large tours or shows, you know, they see larger rigs or, you know, new set designs, their creative brain says, I'm going to take that route, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think keeping them engaged is probably one of the big things.
They don't just love lighting. They love lighting when they get the chance to be creative with it. That's a really good takeaway, man.
Yeah. Do you feel like churches can often perhaps stifle their creativity a bit, just saying, hey, we don't want to distract too much. Let's make sure, you know, we don't have too much movement, or just create one scene and just, you know, press go and that's it.
Exactly.
Don't make the lights too lighty.
Yeah.
Exactly. 100%. Don't get too lit. You know?
Well, y'all would know something about that. Well, okay. If you were pretty lit though, you might be able to travel back in time and give some advice to your younger self. So what's some common mistakes that you're finding young LDs making, you know, nowadays?
I think because even one thing I struggled with at the very beginning that a lot of people do is they see a rig of movers and they will move them 24/7 until those motors die out. You know, it'll be silent night and it'll be strobing and going crazy. I mean, hey, I love a good party. Don't get me wrong, but it's all about intentionality. And so I think that's my biggest takeaway for myself and for others is being very intentional. You know, at the end of the day, we're here to create beautiful, precious moments. There are moments to go crazy, you know, AKA for King and Country Drummer Boy, go for it. But not, yeah, you know, not Little Martha, Silent Night. We need to make it nice and pretty. You know what I mean? And so I think that's the biggest thing is just because they move doesn't necessarily mean they have to always be moving. And, you know, for me, one thing I always push myself is you might create a really pretty look, but how can you take it to the next level theatrically, you know, playing with shadows, playing, you know, with negative space. A lot of people will just kind of turn things on, move them, leave them on, and then go to the next cue, just reposition them. And so I think being able to create dynamics is also very important, especially when you don't have a large rig. You know, let's say you only have like 12 par cans or 12 LED pars, you know, they don't always have to be on, you know? And so I think that intentionality and just dynamics is something I wish I would have pushed myself when I was just starting. And I mean, I've learned it now, but I think that would be my biggest takeaway.
I love that because so many positions in production, I mean, not quite a systems engineer, but, you know, especially an LD, a video director, audio, an A1, like it's very creative positions. And so just like musicians or artists or poets, like I've seen this as I've gotten older, getting better and better at your craft is knowing how to create it using less and less and less until you almost get to the point where you're like, how can I create this with as little as possible?
Well, I mean, that's why Gene Kim all the time wants to go out with like an audio console that's been run through a wood chipper. It's like, how dialed back can I go with this?
Alexander,
I think what you said, less is more is key. One of my favorite moments that I have done as an LD, and I have a picture, is we were, you know, with Transformation Church, they love to flow. They love to let the spirit kind of take over worship. And it's one of my favorite things when churches do that, because as an LD, you're just following them. And that's, it gets your brain going as to, especially if you are a musical type person, you can kind of figure it out. And so, you know, you're busking live. That's, I love it. There was a moment in conference, you know, like I said, massive rig, 500 plus lights. I think it's like 800, honestly. And I killed the entire room, everything completely pitch black. And like I said, the video pods had X4 bars on top and bottom. It had 8 on each one. And I blacked out the entire room and I just had all of the X4 bars in like a warm tone, just facing down, shooting down, almost like lit like lanterns.
Yeah.
And as music was going, that's all I left on. I could have had all the lights moving. I could have had it strobing. No, I just had those lit up and I had the automation bring them down. And it just created a beautiful, peaceful environment. I remember I got goosebumps. It's probably one of my favorite moments. You know, and it's just going back to being intentional, you know. I don't know, for me, if I get the goosebumps when I'm creating something, that's why I know I'm cooking, you know. Snoop Dogg would be very proud.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Blake, is that how you get sometimes when you're mixing a new drink and you taste it and you get goosebumps?
Oh man, just you saying that's already giving me the goosebumps. I'm going to leave right now. I got to go make one.
And the, you know, the idea of less is more has never been more true than when I hired Blake, because it doesn't get much less than Blake.
You know, I keep peeling it back and there's another layer underside that layer. But, you know, speaking of layers to inspiration, what are some things, I can't do that. I was going to try to make that transition.
That segue was definitely less.
It crashed into a brick wall, but here we go. So what's some churches or artists that you're inspired by right now with the designs they're putting out? What's the designs that are giving you those goosebumps?
Man, I, I would say the one that really just had me wanting more was Suna Ray. She did the product design on it. She's the one that does that recently did Coldplay. Recently just did the most recent was Paramore. She did Muse's current design, and it's killer. It's probably my you know, I think for production design, a lot of people love to reuse elements, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love it. I'm here for it. But every once in a while, when someone makes something fresh, that's when my jaw finally drops. And her production design and lighting design on Muse is probably one of the most creative ways to light a band and create a show that I've seen so far.
That I'm a huge fan of Muse. So that makes me want to, are they out on tour now, or is this, you know, the last year or so?
I don't know. Probably in the last year. Okay. You know, for context, they have, you know, everybody's seen Automation. It's nothing new, nothing crazy, but they had giant mirrors on these trusses of Automation, and they had fixtures under the deck. The deck was see-through.
Wow.
And so in certain moments, the movers would shoot up, you know, through the band, hitting those mirrors. And as those mirrors are moving, they're creating these other, you know, very cool effects. Something as subtle as that, that you would think, oh, that's really not that difficult to do. Mm-hmm. You know, even in the church world, just hang some mirrors and have lights pointing at it. But just the fact that someone did that, that's creative, you know?
Yeah. I got a little goosebumps just even, you know, envisioning that in my mind. That sounds super cool.
I just heard we're using the company card to go see Muse, so that sounds great.
Oh, there you go.
If I tried to submit that to the finance department, though, it'd be quite the disaster, Toby. I think I'd get rejected, don't you?
Not as big a disaster as your segues.
I'm going to have to pay you under the table to stop making fun of them, because I think they're pretty good and you keep doing it.
Less is more, Blake.
Okay, well, how about you do this one then? You're less, I'm more. How about you do it, yay, host?
Well, I don't even need a segue because you've already segued into it. So
you created that disaster for your own segue.
Alexander, give us a moment where everything went wrong. You had it in your mind that everything was going to be okay, but it wasn't, or maybe it was almost not okay, and you saved the day. Do you have a disaster that you can give us the story behind?
In 2021, I was doing a conference in St. Louis. And the rig literally lost data as we were about to go into it. You know, I'm freaking out. Also, it could be because I was using MA3 version 1.2 at the time. I'm not a big MA3 person myself at this very moment. Just give me a few months and I probably will. But at the time, at the time with 1.2, I was reconsidering my career, honest to God. I was going nuts. It was terrible. But because of some of the issues and bugs I was having, I honestly was like, well, we're just going to turn on the work lights, you know? Or if it's super unstable, I'm just going to create one queue and we're just going to live there for the rest of the day. I kept praying to the good Lord. And sure enough, they just started doing their little homing, you know, the little robot thing that they do. And God is good. I'll say that much. It worked.
Oh, man, that's nice. It's nice when, you know, you pray in a tech moment, you know, works out.
Yeah. It's almost like we should, you know, engage in prayer.
all the time, before, during, and after. Okay, well, I think our tech takeaway of the day is engage in prayer. But if we were going to ask Alexander for his, Alexander, what would be the tech takeaway you'd hit us with today?
The tech takeaway is receiving and really meditating on intentionality. Not just in lighting, but just in production in general. Because it's a lot of work what we do, you know. Secular or not, it's a lot of work. And if we want to continue to grow, I think being intentional gives you more space to grow. That might be a little too deep. I don't know. Maybe I might be hitting it too hard on that one. But I think if you sit on it for a second and think about intentionality, it'll give you more room to grow.
I really like that. I'm gonna put you on the spot here. Any and example? I was gonna say
of intentionality.
Yeah, just like maybe a real world example. Me and Toby have learned he's very visionary. I'm very tactile. So maybe I'm just being, you know, selfish here, but I'd love a tactile example of how you were really intentional in a moment. Like, flesh that out, bring that, you know, that point to life.
A great example is when creating set designs. A lot of people love to see what the secular world is doing. You know, what are the Grammys doing? What are the Oscars doing? And they'll create set designs. Because I used to be that way. And I love those designs, don't get me wrong. But specifically in the church world, you know, where budgets are a thing, obviously. And, you know, limiting factors on fixtures. They'll create a really pretty design, but there's only two positions you could use them in. Well, if you take a step back and really flesh it out mentally, or, you know, previs, or even just drawing it on a whiteboard, you know, because I like to draw things when I'm designing and thinking, how can I be very intentional of, you know, taking advantage of where these fixtures are placed. Hmm. And by doing that, it really does give you more room to be more creative, you know, because if I have fixtures pointing in a specific, you know, installed in a certain way, I can get 10, 12 plus presets off of it versus, oh, but this looks really cool, but I can only, you know, have them static. Well, you're just kind of left as, you know, one or two options. And so, you know, you're being intentional of, this looks really pretty and I can get the most out of this fixture by creating, you know, a bunch of presets. That gives me more room to grow and be creative. So I just threw a lot of words to you. I don't know if you can process and handle that.
You know, my processor is about as good as the V1 Grand Mame. You know, I'm really churning over here.
Yep, you're version 1.2, Blake.
Steam is coming out of my ears as we speak.
All right, Alexander, is there anything specific you'd like to plug for our listeners? Anywhere you want to point them, they can find you, or you can say, no, please don't find me.
I mean, right now you can find me on Instagram. So that's my only social media, LEHMAN Lights, all one word, Lehman Lights. So
okay.
I'll be posting some new stuff coming up. I'll be at Easter at Transformation. So that'll be a fun one coming up.
Your handle is Hillsong Praiser, right? Or is it Christ-like Production Leader as your handle?
No, that's my MySpace handle.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Well done. I figure you're too young to even know what MySpace is, but you know, maybe your parents taught you about it.
I mean, is Blake old enough to understand what that is? I just want to make sure.
No,
I
had a MySpace, guys. Listen, I'm not old enough, but I am lame enough. I had my own MySpace profile. I had Carry On as my my song for any time I had a breakup. I put that on there.
Okay.
Well, Alex, thanks for coming on the show, man. Making some time. We know you're out on tour, so we appreciate you joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We hope to see you back next week for more absurd stories, tech takeaways, and overall buffoonery here at the Church Gear Studios.
Okay, Blake, you know when I really rethought my career was back when I was working with Blake version 1.2.
Man, what a jerk that guy was.
He was the worst until he started getting some software updates from my friends.
Yeah, you know, your friends, Mac iOS, Brian Deshaun.
Yeah, I would just, it was kind of like, what do you do if a drink is too strong?
You put a lot more simple syrup in it.
Yeah, you dilute it. Mm-hmm. So I kept diluting you with more great people around here at Church Gear. And now I feel like you're at least version 1.6.
I'm drinkable now.
Yeah, and it's still pretty bitter, but.
That's true. If you need someone to be diluted, if you need them to be a little less bitter, text them this episode and say, hey, I think this will make you a better person. Maybe say it a little less passive aggressive than that, but
you could say, hey, listen to this episode. You need to update to version 1.3. Okay, Blake, I've been working on some jingles for our new website launch. So I've got churchy, churchy, church, church gear.
Toby, what have I told you about singing on the podcast? It doesn't work. But you know what is working? Our new website. You can actually get it to load on your phone. You can actually buy a new piece of gear without your phone bursting into flames.
Well, what if I spelled it out like C-H-U-R-C-G-E-R?
Toby, stop. That is not working. But you know what is working? The search bar on our website. You can actually search speakers and speakers will appear. No joke, that didn't always work.
Okay, what if I just did something like go to churchgear.com?
You know what? That one works.